Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
I had a lot of coffee today. It's my thing right now. I had coffee from two different places.
What two different places?
Starbucks and Dutch Bros.
What was better?
Dutch Bros was sweeter. And I had my 16-year-old with me. That's why I was at Dutch Bros. But, you know, I got a coffee problem, I think. As long as I hydrate, I think I'll be all right. Derek Anderson, former Oregon State quarterback. See, the last time Derek Anderson came on the show, he was waiting for an NFL team to call. He was on the show doing an interview when his phone rang. Good things happen when Derek Anderson comes on the show. So he's coming back on. How are you, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
All right. Let's go back to that day. You're on the show. You got a phone call while you're doing an interview here that brought you back to the NFL. How does that go down?
It was interesting. Brandon Dean had contacted me, a couple weeks before I had actually signed out there, but just kind of seeing my interest, if I was willing to come out there and help the young guy out. Kind of had to think about it for a minute, make sure I got my ducks in a row. But, it was different. I've never really had a GM just call me specifically. I normally just call my agent, but Brandon and I have a good relationship, and I thought he was actually calling to see about golf.
But, when he calls, you have to. You owe that to yourself, right? To play until no one will have you anymore. Like, if he calls, but you got to get in shape. Like, what's the difference between the shape you were in and the shape you needed to be in?
I wasn't very far out of shape. I'd been doing a little bit, probably not as much as I normally would, had I known I was playing, but, I was trying to kind of stay in it, and you say that exactly right. My wife's like, if you don't do it, you're going to kick yourself for the rest of your life for just kind of just giving up. And, you really look at it, it's something I worked for my entire life, and to just kind of shut it down because it's not a perfect situation or something wasn't exactly the way that you thought of it, it's kind of selling yourself short. So you're right. I had to do it, and I enjoyed it, and enjoyed it so much that I'm going to go back and do it again.
I love it. Derek Anderson with us, Buffalo Bills quarterback. How soon after you get that call, like, what do you do right away? Do you start running 40s outside, or what do you do?
No, I went through that afternoon because I hadn't thrown in like probably a week, just to make sure everything was good. And then, it was fine. Picking it was kind of like riding a bike, but I've been running a little bit. I've been doing some of my like movement training stuff I do as my trainer. And so I wasn't I wasn't ready to run hundreds. I know that, but I was in good enough shape to to play football.
The plays that are called offensive scheme. How tough is that to pick up? Because how many days was it until you were actually in a football game? Was it like a week later?
Yeah.
So a week later, you're in an NFL game.
Weird. Yeah. The way the call went down, obviously I get there on Monday or whatever. Josh plays, gets hurt on Sunday, and then I start the following week. Scheme-wise, very similar plays that I've done. So I try to just take pieces that they had, that I knew that those guys knew. And I said, hey, this is the stuff that I'm comfortable with. Let's do this. And I just kind of tried to adapt with the language. Luckily I had a wristband, so some of the stuff, is, the verbiage-wise is on a wristband. But I put a lot of work in. I put a lot of time in to try to, adapt to what they had done without, some guys come in like that and they're like, no, this is what I'm going to do, this and this and this. And I just try to kind of assimilate myself to what they've done.
Derek Anderson is with us. I think it's awesome that you're playing. I think, you know, sometimes your career leads you in directions you never expect. I think football, I mean, is it fair to say football will always be a part of your life? Will you coach after you're done?
I don't know. I mean, I've thought about it. I don't think I really want to, but you never know. I mean, I do enjoy kind of the role that I'm in now. You know, helping Josh and Matt, and really just, I took it kind of upon myself during the season just kind of help our young guys. And, you know, I could tell we had a lot of inexperienced guys to try to get them on the same page and, you know, get them to understand that if we're trying to go make this next step, this is the things that we have to do. And I've seen it on, you know, I've been on good teams. I know, you know, exactly what it takes, and just kind of use my knowledge in that way. And we did, we got better as the season went along. And it wasn't 100%, you know, on, you know, things that I did, but just trying to be a part of the answers.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You've been on good teams. I mean, you've been on teams that were that close to winning a Super Bowl in Carolina, and you've been on bad teams, like in Cleveland. What's the difference? Can you tell when you walk in a locker room whether you have a successful organization or not right away, or does it take you time?
The first week that I got to Buffalo, you know, practice wasn't as crisp. Things weren't as kind of tight as I was used to them, and so when I was, you know, those two games that I played and I practiced, I tried to just push the pace in practice and try to show those guys, like, this is how we need to do things, kind of, you know, because guys were kind of just moping around a little bit, and Sean really pushes the tempo. But, like, just, I mean, there has to be kind of an urgency about practice. And the good teams that I've been on, you know, the good teams practice hard. You know, it goes from the young guys all the way to the veterans, and the veterans lead it. And it, you know, that's how you kind of get growth. And, you know, Josh, you know, unfortunately he was hurt, but he was able to see that. And then when he came back, we kind of continued to preach that and talk about that. You know, I would say, hey, you know, we had 2 days off, bud. Like, coming out of this, you know, into this Wednesday practice, we didn't even come in. You got to get these guys going. I've seen it a lot where you come in off, you know, 2 days off, and guys are kind of moping around. And, yeah, we won on Sunday, but, you know, there's just little things like that. And, you know, I think we did a great job at the end of the year, and now it's the biggest thing for us is kind of just build on that momentum going forward.
Derek Anderson with us, Buffalo Bills quarterback. You got a chance to play against New England and against the Colts. Those are two really good teams that are still playing. So I want to ask you a little bit about the playoffs and what you think and what you see. The Chargers are going to New England. I'm rooting like hell for Phillip Rivers to break through, but you know what they're up against. What do you think when you see that matchup?
I think the Chargers are going to go to the Super Bowl, to be honest with you. That was my predict. I was going to take the Chargers and the Saints before the playoffs started. I think the Chargers are playing well. I don't think the Patriots are as good as everybody thinks. You know, they're still the Patriots. They still got Tom Brady. But, you know, defensively, they aren't the same team that they've been in the past. I was fortunate to see them twice, once live action, once as a spectator this year. But, you know, I think the Chargers will score points on them. You know, obviously playing in Foxborough is a little bit different, but I think arguably the Chargers are probably the best road team this season. So I think it's going to be a good game, though.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the fact you mentioned, like, they're still the Patriots, and I think that's the one thing, like, you know, I don't know if it's mystique or aura, and I don't know if those things get you a first down or a touchdown, but Rivers has never beaten Tom Brady. Does that stick in the mind of a player, or is this a totally different Chargers team? Does he go in going, look, this team, we can run the ball. I don't need to do anything out of what I am capable of doing. What do you think when you're in a situation where you're like 0-7 against a guy breaking through?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely in the back of his mind. I know that for sure. He's a major competitor. He's a guy that wants to win. But I think he also understands, you know, he'll watch the tape and realize right away, like, he doesn't have to do anything spectacular to win that football game. You know, unfortunately, when I played him on Monday night, made a couple bad decisions, and we're really a couple plays away from being right in that game and having a chance to win it in the end. And at the time, we weren't very good, you know, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, and they kind of struggled throughout the year, and they lost some games that they shouldn't, the Patriots, that they shouldn't have as well. But, you know, I think they're going to have every chance, and it's going to, you know, probably come down to Rivers with the ball in his hand at the end of the game. I hope that's what happens.
Yeah, I'm rooting for it too, because I like I was rooting for Foles last year. You know, I'm pulling for Rivers in this playoffs, and we all know what Drew Brees can do. What about the Colts and the Chiefs? Andrew Luck and the Colts are playing really well. They go to Kansas City. Who you like in that game?
I was literally just thinking about that yesterday. Arrowhead is an extremely difficult place to play. I don't think the Colts are, overly complex on defense. They're going to have some problems with what Kansas City does. Mahomes has obviously got a horseshoe snuck somewhere right now. Whatever he does, it seems to turn to magic. I mean, they lose Kareem Hunt, and they just kind of continue to roll. So I think the Colts are kind of up against it a little bit this week, but I think that's going to be a fantastic game as well. Andrew Luck, it's good to see him back healthy and playing at a high level again.
The offense is like the best two defenses in the NFL both lost last week. Yeah, the Ravens and the Bears go out. It just feels like this is the offensive time. Like, if you've got a great offense, you're in it.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of that's exactly what the league wants, to be honest. Look at the Chiefs and the Rams game early in the season, the hype in that game, and people watched it, and people get excited about it. Nobody really wants to watch 10-6, to be honest. I mean, it's fun. Maybe in the Super Bowl, that's cool, but I mean, people want to see points scored. They want the ball moved up and down the field, and unfortunately, that's the way they officiate the games now, and it's it goes towards the offense. And as you kind of get into playoffs, I think you'll see that's kind of be the trend.
Oregon State and Jonathan Smith, I think they're trending better already than where Gary Anderson was after a year. I got to give you credit. You watched Anderson's offense, and immediately you were not impressed. What do you see that Jonathan Smith's doing that you like?
Run the ball. I mean, they run the ball effectively. They did a great job. And really, obviously they moved the ball up and down the field all year. They just didn't stop anybody on defense.
That was
positive. I knew they weren't going to struggle on offense. They got, some weapons. Obviously they need to add some guys, but I knew Jonathan was going to do a good job with the offense and, kind of just getting the defense to come along. And got to stop on every play, but we need to start making stops on defense. And that kind of gets the momentum going when you can run the ball like that effectively and your quarterbacks are making good decisions. You're going to win more games just by accident, I think.
Yeah, and I think, like, when you watch a college game, and I don't want to pick on Anderson's offense, but when you watch a college game and you don't see that the offensive staff has a real plan, does that just jump off the screen to you as a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I mean, I spoke with you before on it, but it just didn't ever seem like they had an exact strategy to what they were doing. They were just, we'll try this week. We'll try this next week. This didn't work. I think in college, with the minimal amount of time that you have during the week, you got to be, really lean on those reps that you get during training camp and be good at something. I don't care what it is. If it's running the football, you have your 10 to 15 basic pass concepts. You can formate them differently. Those kids don't have enough time in the week to relearn different schemes or relearn different concepts every single week. You can, change the formation or you can motion to it, but you got to have a good core and really utilize, the things during training camp that you're learning to kind of propel yourself through the season. I think that's the biggest thing.
I think you're going to end up as a offensive consultant or offensive coordinator somewhere. It might even be high school. Like, even if it's high school, because you got a bunch of kids, like I have a bunch of kids, you're going to be busy. You're going to have kids in high school. And, I think I always see you around football.
I do enjoy it. That's for sure. I think, my biggest thing is I've had the luxury of, good or bad, but I've been around different guys with different thoughts and just kind of grabbing pieces here and there. I'll remember something. I'm like, oh yeah, he told me that. Okay, boom, go back, look at it. I'm like, how did I forget that? It's just interesting to me to kind of continue to learn, even at going into my 15th season. I learned a lot this year from Brian Daboll and Josh taught me a lot. Understanding the game in a different light sometimes is good and healthy.
It's a moving target too, because the offenses are changing and You got college game kind of bleeds into the NFL now a little bit more than it used to, and so you're probably seeing a lot of different things. And I think Oregon is in that position with Herbert too. I think they need some new ideas. I kind of felt like they were guessing a little bit last year. I don't know if you watched them at all.
I did watch him a little bit. I think he's a good player. You're right. You know, they didn't. I didn't, you know, watch him a ton, but I did watch him, and they got kind of bland. Kind of leaned on him a little bit too much, but now you're right with the pass game and the college coming to the NFL. That's something that's kind of been a little bit new to me at times. You know, the RPOs and when the guys are you're reading and the box counts. I understand the box counts, but there's still sometimes when I look at Josh, I'm like, what guy are you looking at? Like, who is that? like how did you know that guy wasn't going to step up in that hole? You know, and he's like, well, I've done it for, since high school. And I'm like, okay. Like, we had an argument on the sideline once, and I'm like, we can't run this play against a 7-man box. And they're like, he's not running it. He's reading the guy. I'm like, oh. So it's like, I'm still learning it a little bit too. And Daboll, obviously being in Alabama 2 years ago, that's all they did with Tua. All they did, but it's the majority of what they did. And he pulls a cut up like at the end of the year of all these different runs and all these different RPOs. And I'm like, okay, well, I got a little work to do this offseason.
Yeah. And I think too, like, you're seeing college guys who can come in and play pretty early because of that, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it helps. It helps a ton. You know, they're not going, dropping back 25, 30 times and having to actually read an entire defense. You know, you can kind of plug guys in and put concepts around them that they've done and are comfortable with. You know, Jared Goff, I think, is a very good example of, his growth is based off of the run game, right? Like, if they can run the football, everything that they do now comes to life. But it's very simple. He's reading one defender most of the time. The RPOs, he's very good at the RPOs, and obviously they got Todd Gurley, but that's a good kind of an example of a guy coming in, kind of struggling his first year, but then introducing some of those college concepts into their offense has been huge for him.
Derek Anderson, congratulations to you, and love seeing you in uniform, so keep it going until they tell you to go home.
I will do so. Thank you for having me on today, bud.
You bet. There is Derek Anderson, former Oregon State quarterback, now with the Buffalo Bills. Last time he was on the show, who knows who called him this time? Last time he was on the show, mid-interview, his phone beeped. It's the GM of the Buffalo Bills saying, hey, we want to bring you out of retirement. And you could hear it in his interview. By the way, I think that's the best interview Derek Anderson's ever done on the show, and he's probably done 10 of them. He was the most natural, conversational. His energy was good. You can tell he's happy. You know, I like hearing guys happy, because there was a point in his career, like 9 years ago, 10 years ago, I did an interview with him when he was with Cleveland. He had been benched. He wasn't happy, and his energy was just, you could just tell he's not a faker. So Derek Anderson doing well, and I love what he had to say, especially about Oregon. I mean, did you catch that? They're leaning too much on Herbert. Need some new ideas. See, it's why I think Oregon's problems on offense are as simple as, an offensive consultant. There's a narrative going around about Nick Saban, that he's tough to work with, that he berates his coaches. That's why there's a lot of turnover, and that he paid for it on Monday in that national championship game. I think the fix for Oregon on offense is a tinker. They need some wide receivers. They need, a couple more playmakers that they got in recruiting. But they mostly just need somebody to sit with Marcus Arroyo and take a little bit of pressure off him to get, somebody on your shoulder. I can't do this show without Bobby Adriana, without Bella, Chop, the whole gang. It's, you guys all make it easier for me to do my job. If you give a coordinator, an offensive consultant, and some weapons on offense, it makes his job infinitely more easy. Leave it right here. You got the bald-faced truth. Ramon just dropped off the check. He also apologized for throwing the coffee cup in the bushes. Told him in today's world, man. Come on. But you know what's funny how disarming an apology is? Like, when he... Never mind that he threw a coffee cup in the bushes. Never mind that he caused a bunch of problem drilling a conduit line through a sewer line. Never mind all that. He looked me in the eye, and he sincerely apologized. And at that moment, I said, don't worry about it. You know why? Because when some, you know, we all make mistakes.
That's all you were looking for, though.
That's it.
Yep.
Let that be a lesson. Like, a sincere apology will go way further than, we didn't do it, wasn't me.
Denial.
You know, and I obviously don't think he was worried about me. He's probably worried about losing his job.
Yep.
More than anything. But, you know, see, and it's like, one time I had a group of interns show up, and every year we put interns together. If you ever want to intern on the show, you can email me, bft@1029thegame.com. I think that's the email address. I don't know. Yeah, you can email if you want to intern. Find me. We had interns show up, and there was a group of interns, like five or six interns, and one of them showed up wearing a baseball cap on backwards, and the rest of them showed up looking like professional. I walked up, everybody introduced themselves. I sent the guy with the baseball cap home. I said, come back tomorrow, dressed like you're not going to a video arcade. And that dude became one of the best interns we ever had. And he told me, this was years ago, I told my wife, I was like, you know, I'm really proud of the interns that have come through the show, because we've had interns who have interned who have gone on to become attorneys. We have interns that have interned and gone on to become sports agents. We've had interns that have gone on to become hosts of other shows that have gone on. We've got one that is a sports information director at Boise State. Mm-hmm. We've got, you know, they've gone on to great things. And this intern in particular is like the regional manager for a chain of stores. Mm-hmm. And he told me, he said, remember when you sent me home that first day? I said, you're damn right, I sent you home. You dressed like a idiot. Like, and I said video arcade, but today you couldn't even say that. There's no such thing as a video arcade.
No, and they wouldn't know what that is.
Yeah, so I'd probably say the mall. You're dressed like you're hanging out at the food court.
There you go.
There you go. That works.
Yeah.
But he thanked me. He was like, hey, that was a life lesson. That was one of those moments. So if you want to intern and hang out with Alabama Adriana all day long. How much fun is that down there?
Actually, it's way too much fun. But also, they could probably just hit me up on Twitter and I can get it figured out.
What is your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is @AlabamaAdriana, AdriAnna.
We have one intern coming in this next season. I call them seasons because it's their school year. It has to line up. Who is an analytics
Ooh.
Expert.
Ooh, I like it.
And so we're just going to put him to work on analytics. And so whatever it is that's your specialty, that's what we'll do on this show. I pride myself on trying to identify what it is that somebody's good at. Like Alabama Adriana, we had no idea when she showed up what she was going to be. Was she going to be here for an hour? Was she going to answer phones? Was she going to produce stuff? You know, what was she going to do? And all of a sudden, she's now, like, it took about one shift, and the report I got from the people working with her was she's super bright. She picks things up quick. See, in a case like that, it doesn't even matter. Like, we will find what you're good at.
Yeah, the interns, if they come work here, they definitely, if they're in with Adriana, they're going to have a good time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you say that all again? Because I was on the phone.
That's okay.
I want to hear all the compliments.
Listen to the podcast later. But the other thing is, for as much fun as she is, she's alone a lot down there. Have you yep. noticed that?
Yeah, she is.
That sounds so sad.
It's sad. Like, she's the cat lady of the show. She's down there by herself.
Just answering phones.
Yeah. I mean, we're all by ourselves.
Yeah, we all
we're
have
all
our own,
in our
not
own
me.
Rooms.
I feel like I have 14 or 15 people in here with me at all times.
But everybody has their own room, their
sometimes
own space.
I lock the door. I have a deadbolt there. I lock it, and sometimes it opens. Because it's a weird deadbolt. It's not like an actual deadbolt goes through. It just locks.
Yeah.
So it has a lock position. And for some reason, that door, sometimes it doesn't lock.
Ugh.
And you notice the biggest offender is Bruce, the operations manager. I could be mid-show with the microphone open and the light on. And he just walks right in.
Yep.
And then sometimes I'm on a phone call. Like post-show, phone rings. I'm on a call. I will be mid-sentence on a call. And he'll just start talking. He wants to give me some good news or whatever. I don't know what it is, but I'm just, I look at him like, what are you doing? Like, that's not a normal thing. Just to walk in and start. Ooh.
Yeah, I don't, there's a lot of people around here that don't follow the etiquette of the light outside the room. I mean, whatever happened to that? When I started a long time ago, that was gold.
You know what you need? You need a spear. If you had a spear, this is all you have to do one time. You have a spear right by your console there. First person who opens the door, you do just like in Braveheart. You put it right in their chest. Spear. You just spear them, and then they go staggering out into the workspace out there with like a 6 foot long spear sticking out of them. No one will ever come in again. Guaranteed.
Nope.
Just got to do it one time. I always felt like that would work for an NBA player defensively. Like, remember how the Knicks had the reputation of being very physical with Charles Oakley and Ewing and those guys? I felt like sometimes the opposition, when they were playing against those teams, didn't shoot poorly because they were so defensive. They just shot poorly because they were physical. They were afraid.
You played baseball. I was a catcher. I used to do that. Hey, yeah.
Chin music.
Let's do this right now. Bob, I don't know where that ball's going.
Bob Gibson.
That's right.
Bob Gibson would give him a shave.
That's the best way to do it. They don't know where that ball's going.
Don's in Beaverton. Don's called in. Don, what's up?
Hey, you got a good idea there about being physical in the NBA.
Yes.
What do you got, 12, 14 people on the roster in the NBA? On each roster?
Yeah, 15 on the roster.
So what they need to do is, if they want to rough up LeBron James, they, you know, put everybody in eventually to play and just foul them really hard, maybe a flagrant one, you know? That each one has a flagrant one, so it kind of bruises them up and softens them up, and so he's really tired.
That's been lost,
so
because I think teams would do that, but I also think they would retaliate against your star, so you don't want to get into that? You know, do you want Lillard getting fouled the same way? Yeah.
How good would some of the stars back in the day, you know, play? I know this has been asked and answered, but how well would the stars today play back in?
Not as well.
No.
You give me Steph Curry with the way that Michael Jordan was defended by the Knicks, and they would have taken slight, slender Steph Curry. They would have knocked him around. He would have had physical problems.
Yeah.
And look, to his credit, he's adjusted to a game that, look, how many times did Klay Thompson dribble?
I think around 4.
And he scored 43 points.
Yes, right.
So he scored 43 without dribbling the ball, basically. He's just shooting. Yep. See, that's not basketball of 1985. You know, that's today. And there are probably guys like Reggie Miller back in the day who would have been wildly successful in this era of basketball. All right, our 2 at 2, the two most important things in sports, coming up next.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.